Peace of the Lord be with you. Happy Friday, my friends. Final Friday of January. We also have a number of visitors here checking out Hope College. We want to welcome you to Hope College. Don't just choose a brand that you put on a sweatshirt. Don't choose a sticker you put on the back. Choose a community. Choose a people. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the power of hope in a people. Amen? Amen. We're so glad you're here. We hope you have a great visit. One of the things that we're trying to encourage this semester is just a very simple message. Go be a witness. We want to instill this deep down into your soul. To go be a witness. To do that, there are things that you got to do over and over and over again in your life. My beloved wife, Kristen, and I have two children, Trigvi Jr., who's 5, and Ella, who is 2. When we get together at the dinner hour, we have a couple things we like to do to try to get that message grooved into their life early. We light a candle like we do at the gathering every night. Christ is the light of the world, and in him there's no darkness at all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We say that together to get that gospel message deep in their soul. We eat a meal. We ask each other questions. What's going on? And at the end, we like to have a devotion. This is my daughter, Ella, sitting at the table. Yeah, isn't she cute? She's darling. And then we like to read a devotion. I love this picture because Ella can't read, but she just starts to kind of talk. So we'll read this devotion together as a family. And at the end of it, we'll ask, what did you learn? What did you hear? And no matter what the story is, it doesn't matter if it's about creation or the Exodus or Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath, every time we ask, what did you learn? Ella says, Jesus. Jesus. And it's fun. And you know what? As I think about it, it is the right answer. All our questions are going to eventually bend back to that name. But can I make a confession? When she says Jesus, there's also a part of me as a dad, as a father, that I get nervous about. Because I know that Ella is going to grow up in a world where it is not going to be easy to say the name of Jesus. Because real life isn't always a cute Bible story. The Bible isn't actually a very cute book. I get nervous that when we do these devotions, we sanitize Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. We want to encourage you to go be a witness of Jesus. We're pivoting off of Acts 1:8. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The book of Acts is a story about God's action and revelation in this world by sending the Holy Spirit in such a way that the people of God become empowered to be witnesses, to go out into the world. We were never called to be a holy huddle. We were meant to go across borders and boundaries to be a witness of Jesus, which is a call to a new kind of life. And what does it mean to be a witness? I think it has something to do with the word that's chosen in the Greek to articulate what witness is. In the Greek, the word that we use for witness is the same word we use for martyr. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power, you will be my martyrs in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To be a martyr, to be a witness, is to testify, to confirm, to give evidence, to prove, to verify, to show, to demonstrate, to indicate, to reveal. What does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean to be a martyr? It means that you are never at the center, but are always pointing or naming what is going on at the center. And for our case, to be witnesses of Jesus means that we are always pointing or naming the primary action and revelation of God and the operations of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite paintings is from Grunewald in the articulation of John the Baptist. And this, to me, always encapsulates what it means to be a witness. What does it mean to bear testimony to Jesus? It means that we always keep Jesus at the center. John the Baptist, on our right, has the Bible open, and he's got an elongated finger always pointing to Jesus. That's what it means to be a witness. A witness never sees themselves, but always sees Jesus as the primary action and revelation of God in the world. To be empowered by the Holy Spirit is to be empowered to lift up our fingers and to point and to speak with our words and with our actions. That's what it means to be a witness. But it's not easy. It's not easy for you. You know this. And you're going to go out into a world where it won't be easy to point to Jesus. It won't always be safe. To be a witness of Jesus means we're going to have to develop some thick skin and a grounding confidence and clarity that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah, that Jesus is who he says he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus, and I think Jesus knew that. And so he would say to his disciples words like this: "Blessed are you when people revile you or persecute you or say all kinds of evil against you on my behalf. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Or when he said, "If you want to be one of my followers, you must first deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself." Images that evoke that we are not at the center. That if you want to find your life, you will have to lose it for my sake. Jesus knew that if we were going to walk the narrow trail and follow Jesus, it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be hard. And we just need to name that as we encourage you to go be a witness. We encourage it with the full recognition that it is not something that just comes naturally and that it comes at a price. Sometimes it comes at a price in your families or with your friends or sometimes even in the classroom with our associations. To be a follower of Jesus is to bear witness, to point with our words and our actions that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, that we belong to another body and soul and life and in death. And so we just have to know with eyes wide open that there will be a cost. And there will be a growing cost, I believe, in our cultural moment. I lay no claim to the prophetic gift, but if I read the tea leaves right, and I like to think that I am, there's a growing darkness. America, the United States of America, is a post-Christian, deeply secular country. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not at the beginning of our presuppositions. And if God is not at the beginning of your presuppositions, it will not be in your conclusion. We are living in a time and a place where more and more to be a Christian is going to be a choice to be marginalized on the edge of society and culture. The capital of Christianity has burned away, and we are living off its interest, but that interest is coming to an end. And I don't say that with any fear. I actually think this is a healthy thing for us, because I think that there's an argument to be made whether our culture would ever deeply Christian at all. But we are in a time and a place where it will no longer be taken for granted that to be a follower of Jesus is going to mean a life of privilege. And so we need to unite with the brothers and sisters around the world who already are facing this, already are experiencing this, that to say the name of Jesus, like my little Ella, might have a deep cost even at the point of being a martyr. Francis Eugene George, who is the Emeritus Archbishop of Chicago, has famously said this in his retirement. He said that, "I will die in my bed. My successor will die in prison. His successor will be martyred in the public square." But then he says this, "His successor will begin to pick up the shards of a broken society and slowly begin to rebuild civilization as the church has often done throughout history." In other words, the conditions of the moment do not define us as a people of God. We are a people of hope, and that hope is centered in the center, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb, the Alpha and the Omega. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing has come into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life is the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness shall not overcome it. So no matter what darkness might gather, the light will shine and overcome the darkness in the end, which is why we need the courage and the conviction to go out and to be a witness. It may not be safe. It may not be easy, but it will be beautiful, and it will be right, and it will be true. Why be a witness? Why take on that cost? Because Jesus is the key that unlocks us from the citadel of the self where we are trapped, so that we might be invited to go out and to explore the wide open country of salvation, so that we might find that narrow trail and take it all the way into the high country of the Trinity, where we will see face to face he who is at the center, that gives all humanity its circumference. There will be a cost to being a witness. But we have to ask ourselves, my friends, what's the cost if we are not witnesses? Amen? Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for each person here, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon them in power. We pray for those families and prospective students that are here. We pray you will fill them with your Spirit and give them wisdom and clarity as they make a decision about college. We pray for this college. We pray, God, that it would be faithful to you, no matter what the circumstances might be. Send us now forth, Lord, to go out and to be witnesses in your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.